speaking out with the truth. There are some who fear it and avoid it. Others face it because they know that the facts, as well as the people who seek them, stand with them. Given the choice, who are you? The truth is empowerment, yet the consequences for proclaiming that truth can cause too many from making themselves the needed agent of change. Fortunately, my next guest saw what needed to be done and armed with the truth. She has indeed done it and continues to do it. Her speaking out against radical Islam has brought about numerous threats, most recent played down in Massachusetts court, and yet she presses on. Now she tells her story about why she has done what she has done. My hope is that her story will help you better direct your story and encourage you to become a participant in the battle to preserve our liberty and freedom rather than simply sit down and be an observer. Her book is Fatwa, Hunted in America, along with being the publisher of the Geller Report. She's also the president of the American Freedom Defense Initiative and Stop Islamization of America, Pamela Geller. Thank you for being here today, Pamela.
Thank you for having me.
Two websites, first the obvious, PamelaGeller.com, and for Pamela's book, Fatwa, F-A-T-W-A-F, FatwaBook.org. And just I want to catch the listeners before some who would like to jump to a judgment start closing the ears. Yours is not an anti-Muslim book. Your book, Fatwa, is a, I believe, a pro-free speech book. Is that
absolutely? Listen, a fatwa, for those who may be unaware, is a legal ruling by a recognized authority under Islam. And this is my story, but I'm but a proxy in this terrible long war. What happened to me is what happens to every American, in small or large part, who stands in defense of freedom. No, I'm not anti-Muslim. I mean, this is what my detractors say. This is what Islamic supremacists and their leftist lapdogs say in order to smear, defame, mock, ridicule, and libel me, to monsterize me, make me into a monster so that no one listens to the message. The fact is I work with Muslim girls in this country, girls that don't want to wear the hijab but live in devout households and live under penalty of honor violence or honor killing. We get them to safe houses. Of course, that part of my work most people are unfamiliar with because it doesn't jive with the media's narrative. And it is a dangerous job. I mean, look, I live under 24-hour death threat, which requires security at all times. Just last week, the ringleader of a Muslim plot to behead me was convicted of that plot and, you know, on all counts. And he faces life in prison. This is not the first death threat. This is not the first assassination attempt. There have been multiple, all because I stand in defense of freedom. So, you know, this is the story of how a New York City career girl who loved her art, music, fashion, books, you know, went from that to, and being apolitical. You know, I was very much apolitical before 9/11. I assumed my freedom. I thought the good cop was on the world beat and we had defeated evil in World War II. And all, you know, I just never thought anything would jeopardize my freedom. So I went from that New York City career girl to being the country's most notorious racist, Islamophobic, anti-Muslim bigot.
Do you think that because of your pre-9/11 awareness level, do you think that's what made you a more effective crusader that you became because your mind wasn't already molded by the words of others?
Well, it clearly was not molded, and I saw Islam the way I saw Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism. It was a religion. I did not know, you know, I felt guilty for not, you know, I felt guilty on 9/11. I didn't know who had attacked the country, and I felt guiltier when I found out. So I set about to understand the doctrine, the ideology behind those attacks. I read the Quran. I read the great scholars of Islam, the honest scholars, Ibn Warraq and Bacheyor and Robert Spencer. And increasingly, the media was not, you know, addressing this at all. They were self-censoring. They've literally become Sharia compliant. They will not offend or criticize Islam. And it led me to my website, which has really been the mothership of all of these initiatives that people know me for, whether it's defeating the Ground Zero Mosque, or the ads, the free speech lawsuits in every city. Most people are unaware of the fight. Most people are unaware of the story of anyone who does this work. And it's critical because freedom of speech is the foundation of a free society. Without it, a tyrant can wreak havoc unopposed. And we're increasingly approaching a very dangerous status or, you know, restricted speech in this country. And I can tell you that, you know, without freedom of speech, peaceful men will have to resort to violence. I have never really spoken of the personal side, the private toll that this fight took on my life. But I thought it was time because we're reaching a tipping point and Americans are painfully, woefully unaware of what's going on right under their noses. I mean, they're being disarmed in the information battle space. They're being disarmed in the war of ideas. And everything, all the bullets and the bombs and the bloodshed, comes as a result of what happens in that war. And they have to get educated. There are no casual observers in this war.
And I think, too, with your book, Fatwa Hunted in America, we're talking with its author, Pamela Geller, I think our so-called elected leaders would learn a lesson as well, too, because you've had so many people who have pointed things out to you, events and occurrences and day-to-day life in Islamic society, which the governments and other organizations have turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to, that you've been able to bring out to the forefront and make some positive changes, with a lot more still to do, but nevertheless, a step forward is still a step forward.
Yeah, well, politicians, look, they're looking in the rearview mirror. They wet their finger, they put it up in the air, and they see which way the wind blows. We need to change the culture. I mean, if you look at, you know, media, movies, music, academia, I mean, they are, you know, uniformly leftist, and they're all, you know, well, Sharia compliant. They will not offend or criticize Islam. And the fact is, you know, being put up with being offended is essential in a pluralistic society in which people differ on basic truths. If a group will not bear being offended without resorting to violence, that group will rule unopposed while everyone else lives in fear, while other groups curtail their activities to appease that violent group. This results in the violent group being able to tyrannize the others. This is what is happening. If speech that offends a group is outlawed, and we're seeing that, you cannot criticize or offend Islam, or you will be smeared, defamed, libeled, mocked, and destroyed. If speech offends a group is outlawed, that group has absolute power. And a free society is destroyed. That's why I do the work that I do. A group that cannot be criticized, cannot be opposed. It can work its will no matter what it is, and no one will be able to say anything to stop it. And we're reaching that critical point. Most people in America are unaware. It's like the Helen Keller and someone moved the furniture. But this is happening. It's happening under their noses. And one day they're going to wake up in a gulag and say, how did I get here?
Oh, and Pamela Geller with her new book, Fatwa Hunted in America, fatwabook.org, PamelaGeller.com, are the respective websites, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Perhaps maybe the most telling, I mean, obviously the September 11th attacks changed things in so many ways, but the attempt to create the Ground Zero Mosque had so many nuances. Politicians and the media were so complicit. I mean, probably 80% of what was fact about the cleric behind that mosque project was totally erased. The media and the politician did not want that information known, but you were one of the few who were able to bring those facts out to people.
Well, listen, the media wanted that mosque. President Obama wanted that mosque. Mayor Bloomberg, then mayor of New York City, wanted that mosque. And the American people did not want that mosque. It was a deeply offensive, deeply humiliating. It was a middle finger to the American people. Think of it, a 16-story mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks. And we wouldn't have it. You know, it's interesting, the ringleader of the 9/11 Muslim terrorist, Mohammed Atta, said to the passengers on the hijacked airplane, stay quiet and you'll be all right. Just stay quiet and you'll be all right. And we're being told that same thing today. And we were told that with the Ground Zero Mosque. But we would not stay quiet. And I held a number of rallies, a number of protests, 40,000 people came to Ground Zero to protest because, listen, never in the history of Islam has there been a mosque of reconciliation and healing on the site of a conquered, on the site of a jihad attack or on the site of a conquered land. Just the opposite. Mosques are constructed as triumphal mosques like the Dome of the Rock on top of the first and the second Jewish temples in Jerusalem, the Hagia Sophia in Turkey, the great and exquisite Byzantine church, and of course tens of thousands of Hindu temples. We see this again and again. But that mosque was defeated, and people need to understand that, yes, you can do something. If history has taught us anything, it's that the individual can change the course of human events. And with that, with the president and the mayor and the media, we still defeated that mosque. People need to understand that they have enormous power. And of course, look, even that is under siege. After President Trump was elected, you know, the left was in a frenzy. They didn't know how. They have, like, as I said, they have media, music, movies, academia, public schools. How did this happen? And they blamed websites like mine and social media, because that's how we get our message out, talk radio. And so we see now social media, which is critical. It's, the apparatus is critical to getting our message out, to leapfrogging over this machine, this monstrous machine, the media. Facebook blocked my feed. I mean, my one page, I have a number of pages because of my groups, but my Pamela Geller page has 1.2 million followers. My news feed was blocked from there. Google AdSense terminated my account, so literally starving the website because they have a monopoly on the ads, Google ads. YouTube deleted my account after 12 years for a 10-year-old video. Pinterest did not allow you to share links to my page, saying my site was had inappropriate content. It's news. It's news items. So we're seeing this across the country. Again, this is something that people are not are unaware of, although many of your listeners have probably been blocked or banned or put in Facebook jail for a time. This is a way of silencing any criticism of Islam or jihad or Sharia. And really, people need to get aware. They need to awaken to what's going on.
And Pamela's book is indeed a book of empowerment. It also gives you a bit of awareness, too, about existence in the Muslim society of Muslim girls specifically. And I say the word existence for a purpose because what they're forced to endure is not a life. But Pamela does give them hope and makes the rest of the world aware of what Islam injects upon innocent people. She deals with facts, deals with truth. And for those who want to dispute her, well, it's their choice and their option to look the fools, and indeed they do. Book is Fatwa, Hunted America, fatwabook.org, PamelaGeller.com. Pamela, you are a teacher and a leader and empowerer, and we thank you for being all that, for being here today.
Bless you. Thank you for having me.